Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Maddie, my wife, has told me that I am going to live to 100. That is her request and demand of me.
Why does she want to hurt herself like that?
Well, that's a good question. She's a special girl. She can tolerate me.
Maddie, you and I got to talk. Dave and I have been working together for 10 years. I don't want to live to 100 and still work with you.
I'm hanging around you forever.
Please don't. Help. You know Somebody
what?
Help me.
Yeah. But more and more people are making it to 100.
They are. They are.
Right? We are living longer. We know that. We talk about it all the time. And that creates certainly some financial planning pressures for Andrew and Suzanne and our team, right? The longevity, it can be both a blessing and sometimes a curse.
For those of us who are not around Dave Popwich, they actually do want to live longer. They are looking for ways. And so there is, you know, there are some ways that you can live longer. There's some things that you can do.
Okay, I'm going to give you mine. I'm going to give you the things that I do to ensure that I make it to 100.
Okay.
I wrote a couple of them down here, okay?
Let's do it.
Well, I drink a spiked espresso every single day, and I have a martini every night.
I think you're onto something.
My grandfather, who didn't make it to 100, gave me that advice, but I sure like the advice.
I think, and then you worry all day.
Yeah. I work in the markets where they're going crazy, and yeah, yeah. No?
It could work.
It's science, no?
It's somewhere. I'm sure we could find an article that says what you're doing is absolutely on the right track.
All right. Well, let's find out if it's science or not. Tristan Hopper is with us today. He's a journalist with the National Post. You know, Tristan, welcome. First of all, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay. So, you know, we got to talk about this Centurion Club. I got to make it, right? My wife has said I'm going to make it, so I got to make it. And I've got my plan in place. Yeah, I think you heard what it was. Is that is that just myth or is this science?
So what prompted me to write this story for the National Post is it's sort of a community reporting trope. So I came upon these stories all the time when I was going through the wire services. So whenever someone turns 100, you send the rookie reporter over and then you ask them, hey, how did you turn 100? And then they always give the worst advice ever. It's always stupid. So they're always like, well, you know, it's always like liquor related. Like, well, I mix whiskey in with my cornflakes. I've had 20 cigars a day. Every morning I fight a bear. It's all some reckless thing that statistically you shouldn't be alive. And the real answer in all of these cases is you're just really lucky. Everyone else who was born with you died, you know, on Juno Beach and you're still around and you think you have the right to lecture us on how to live forever.
Fighting a bear, that sounds good. I haven't thought about doing that one. That does seem a bit risky.
That will increase longevity for sure. The other one that you mentioned, or another one of your rules, was be rich. Tell me more about that one.
So you can still die if you're rich. So Paul Allen, of course, died at 65, so relatively young, just not too long ago. But be rich. And fortunately, everybody in the listening audience does fall into that category. So it really helps if you're super rich. But generally, if you just live in a first world country with long life expectancy, that's your best bet to make it to 100. So the rates of centenarians, and there's some flux. There are some rich countries in which they have fewer relative centenarians as compared to others. But generally, rich country equals people living longer because all the sort of easy stuff that's going to kill us, we don't have to worry about that. So we don't really have to worry about deadly tuberculosis as much in Canada. We are, you know, we have some of the safest roads in the Western world. So all the sort of low-hanging fruit to stop yourself from dying before 100, we have less of that than almost anybody else on Earth.
Okay. And I throw that in a little bit of the lucky category. I mean, we're all fortunate that we were born in Canada or, you know, a developed world. But fair enough, we've got clean water and all those things, and that helps us live longer.
Okay, so Dave, you mentioned the espresso, spiked espresso, at night a martini.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take a look at rule number 3 on his list.
Which is?
Don't be fat.
Oh.
Well,
there's only 64 calories per ounce of vodka, so my vodka martinis are, you know, they keep
7,000 calories a day. So, Tristan, let's talk about the don't be fat as rule number 3.
I actually found an exception to this recently after I wrote the story. I was just looking at pictures of centenarians. And generally, when you look at super centenarians, so over 100 or over 110, they're all pretty thin. So we all know being obese is bad for you. You usually don't live long. So yeah, the one factor that I found between all super centenarians is they're generally thin. So, you know, keep the weight down, and that's probably your best bet to live longer. However, there is an exception. Olivia de Havilland, who is the only surviving original cast member from Gone with the Wind, still alive. She's 103, and she's kind of on the heavier side. So you can make it to Olivia de Havilland's age, but we'll see if she makes it to 110.
All right, that's fair. I mean, that's an obvious one, I think, is you got to stay right. You don't want all of those diseases associated, first world diseases associated with obesity, for sure.
Yeah,
tell us
and
about
also there's I think they're called blue zones, and these are zones of the world that have high rates of centenarians, like ridiculously high as compared to other places.
Right,
so,
like countries like
Japanese
Japan.
Island of yeah. Okinawa, although we usually hear it in war context, that has a lot of centenarians. And when researchers go there, they suspect it because they have a really good diet. They eat a lot of vegetables, fish, super unexciting food that none of us eat, and that's why we're dropping dead before 100.
Fair enough. Okay, what about, we're social creatures, so what impact does, being social have on our longevity?
I think that's probably the biggest factor. So I've got a grandma, she's 98, and so basically everyone she's ever known in her entire life in her generation is dead. And the one thing, if you can characterize what separates her from the rest of the pack, it is an incredible devotion to being social. So not just like I enjoy socializing, but like I have to get out this morning and socialize with people or else I'm going to die. Because I have to sort of, have that reason to get up in the morning. So, again, when you look at these blue zones and you look at where there are high rates of centenarians, it's usually because they have a good social life. So if you want to live forever, you've got to plan a retirement where you're going to be surrounded by people. So, I've got family members who they're turning 65. They're starting to lose mobility. They live at a shack in the middle of nowhere. They have health problems, so they can't move around as much. So they're becoming increasingly isolated. That's a bad plan. Okay. What you want to do is get into an urban environment, join a bridge club, force yourself to go to bridge club, even if they talk politics the whole time and you hate it. And every time you see your grandson, you're just complaining about all the biddies at bridge club. Do it anyway, because socialization is going to distract you from wanting to die.
And then number five, a reason to live. I like this one.
Yeah, so that can be anything. That can just be motivated by any reason. So, again, I've had members of my family you kind of retire at 65. You're really invested in your work or you like fishing. The minute you can't do any of those things, you just drop dead. And you see this with couples, couples that have been together for 50 years. One of them dies and the other one's dead within a couple weeks. I think, it was the Bushes. Barbara Bush died and then George H.W. Was dead a few months later. So you just kind of lose the will to live. Like, I bother getting up in the morning. So that's when I look at my grandma and her sort of small cohort of late nonagenarians, they like getting up in the morning. They like continuing to do things for whatever reason. So that could be, an overarching fear of death. I think that factors into it. But just enjoyment of life. You want to see your great-grandkids reach a certain birthday. Whatever it is that gets you up in the morning, you're going to live forever. And, there's negatives to that, too. Yep. Stalin, there's lots of, not Stalin, but there are a lot of dictators who lived a pretty long time because getting up in the morning and signing death warrants apparently is very enriching.
Well, you could throw that into their purpose, I suppose, but not we'd argue not a good one. Your problem, Faisal, is that I have a great-grandmother. My great-grandmother made it to 100.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to be around to 100, unfortunately, okay, in your life and bugging you the whole time. But, to your point, Tristan, I would say that her goal was to make it to 100. So yeah. She actually fell down the stairs in her house at age 95 and broke her hip, and that is often the end within a year,
yeah,
if you talk to the medical profession. She survived that. She clawed her way back. She crawled back up, and she was hell-bent on making it to age 100, and she did it, and she didn't last much past that 100th birthday, but we had her 100th birthday. And it was really interesting, and I'm convinced it was just her force of will that she was going to make it to 100.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, because living is a real pain in the butt. at a certain age. I mean, this is what I get with my grandma. She's like, you know, everything hurts. I got to force myself to go to the grocery store. I don't really like socializing. Like, she knows she's got the Google Home thing, so she knows she could just stay in bed and talk to a robot all day. But she's like, well, no, I got to get up and do things and stay active and not deteriorate physically. That's all a lot of work. Dying is way easier than any of that.
Yeah. Well, on that positive note, why don't we wrap it up there? Tristan, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Really interesting article. Tristan Hopper, he's a journalist, and this was from an article he put in the National Post. So we got to help people figure out how they're going to have the necessary resources to be socializing and physically active and do all of these wonderful things to make it to a healthy 100.
That's right, on Tuesday, March 10th, 7 p.m. at the Hamptons Golf Course. You'll be learning about how you can have your money last for as long as you live, but you need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400, 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Do you have the right personality to have money? Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.